Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can you hear me? What's happening?
All of this can be edited later, Steve. That's my understanding.
Well, Paulie, are we all set to go? You almost took a line that I have that I'm going
Paul,
to
can you. Paul, can you just add some bass to my voice, please? Thank you. In the recording. Thank you.
Bass being added. Don't worry.
Yeah, yes. Add bass.
Okay.
Less trouble.
As advertised, a few minutes with Ian Eagle, the television voice of the Brooklyn Nets. Ian, I hope you and your family safe and sound and as healthy as can be.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, everybody is doing well. Excited for the NBA season to start. And here we are knee-deep in NFL, so it's a fun time of year.
And I noticed the other night against Philadelphia that when you do start the season, you don't go through a game with 26 turnovers.
No, that felt like a preseason get it out of the way performance. But let's see how it translates to the regular season.
I'm curious, since we are taping this at 9 o'clock, will you be listening later on to the program to hear how you sounded?
Yes. I'm very much interested to see how they manipulate this audio. I can't trust it.
That's right.
I can't trust it.
Well, Paulie Rosenberg is going to add a little bass to your voice and mine too. So we're both going to sound a little bit deeper with the voice than we normally might be. Let me ask you this. The decision, all or nothing at all, with Kyrie Irving, was this an idea? I mean, because we were under the impression he was going to play half the games on the road except for Madison Square Garden and maybe not with the Golden State Warriors, the game they have out there, because of the local authorities and the mandate with getting the vaccination. When the word came today that it's all or nothing, no practicing, no games at all, home or away, bottom line is, was this a Sean Marks idea? Was this a Kevin Durant and the rest of the team idea, or a combination of both, as far as you know?
Yeah, I would say it was collective in the decision-making. This is not something that they came to this morning and just decided on a whim, this is how it's going to be. I think there have been discussions for weeks leading up to this. Once they realized that the New York mandate was very much real and there was no getting around it, there was no circuitous route to get Kyrie on the court unless he was vaccinated, the general feeling initially was, okay, now that you have an understanding of where things stand, this is the data that you have. Kyrie will have to make a decision. The team will have to make a decision. And they held off as long as possible. And finally, a line was drawn into the sand where the Nets let everybody know where they stood on this issue. And although we are yet to hear from Kyrie publicly, we have a sense of where he stands on the issue. And that's why we are where we are right now.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to give a little. And, of course, he certainly has the right, you know, to refuse a vaccination. But I'm sure he's beginning to realize, if he hasn't already, there are consequences to some of the choices that you make. And so you kind of answered my next question. So we haven't heard from him since this team decision came down earlier today. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. And, you know, let's keep a few things in mind, Steve. Mm-hmm. If Kyrie Irving was a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he would be eligible to play because there are no mandates in downtown Minneapolis. This is a New York issue. It's a San Francisco issue. Mm-hmm. And the players on those respective teams, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Warriors, had to make a decision. We saw what happened with Andrew Wiggins, whether it was peer pressure, whether it was the fact he was going to get docked pay, whatever motivated him, he decided to get the vaccination despite the fact he publicly said that that was not in his personal best interest. Now, Kyrie still has time. Opening night for the Nets is on the road in Milwaukee. Their second game is on the road in Philadelphia. They don't play their first home game until the first Sunday of the NBA season. So that is October the 24th. You're still talking about a pretty large segment of time for Kyrie to get one shot and then become eligible to play in New York City. So the idea that this is done, this is how it's going to be, it's all idle speculation right now until we hear from Kyrie Irving.
Ian, knowing what you know from Kyrie Irving, do you think he'll get that shot?
I don't know. Steve, he is mercurial. He definitely views things through a different lens. And there are a lot of really positive attributes that he brings as a human being in trying to help people that are less fortunate, trying to stand up for those that don't have a voice. That's been in his DNA, and he's been very much a positive in the community. This is a personal decision, so it's hard to get inside his brain on what his perspective is. At some point, he is going to have to give the reason why. And if the reason is simply a medical decision that he's not comfortable with it, then people have to respect it. He will get docked all of the home game pay and then a couple of Knick games as well. So you're talking about losing somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 million taking this stand. He would still get paid for the road games because the Nets are not suspending him. They don't have the right to suspend him. But based on these mandates, they do have the right to tell him, we cannot use you as a part-time player. That does not work for team chemistry. And Steve, you alluded to it right at the top of our conversation. They would not do this unless Kevin Durant, James Harden, and other members of the Nets were on board with this. This could fracture a team. So in my belief, the checks and balances have all been dealt with, and Sean Marks made this decision knowing that he had the backing of ownership and the backing of the coaching staff and the backing of the players on the roster.
Yeah, and everyone wants to be on the same page, and I think I read a quote from you in Newsday where you said the Nets, the team, does not want to lead the league in drama. And of course, that's what you get from Kyrie Irving. We know from this last season and with the birthday party and I think supporting a political candidate in New York City and leaving the team on occasion, telling someone on the other occasion, not saying anything to anyone that we know of. So he has been a story off of the court. And obviously the Nets don't want this to linger. For it to be a distraction, or as you pointed out in that Newsday interview that I read, that the team doesn't want this to be leading the league in drama and distraction.
Yeah, the only way to quell it, Steve, was for Sean Marks to address it and to make it public and to make everybody understand where they're coming from. If he didn't, and if the team didn't, this would be a question on a daily basis. Steve Nash would deal with a question regarding Kyrie every single time he was in front of a microphone. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, all of them would be asked time and time again Kyrie. So at some point, you have to make the decision on what's best for the team. This is still a team sport. You have to take the entire team into account, not just one individual. While the individual, you must respect his right to have his opinion, you still have to consider the team. And the other part of it too, Steve, which really strikes me, just watching what this team went through last season and what was an odd year with no fans in attendance and a truncated schedule. It's hard to win a championship when you get injuries, when you get ego, when you get distractions, all of them in the equation. So when you try to predict what the challenges are going to be, it's in your best interest to try to check the boxes when need be on what challenges you're hoping to avoid. Mm-hmm. And this was going to be a challenge. You can't even begin to dream of what it's going to be like in May and June, what pops up. So you've got to create the right atmosphere so you're prepared for these things, so you can deal with them. And that means having really good leadership. That means having open communication with your players. You have to establish that culture now. That's why the decision is made at an early juncture and you don't let it linger.
Is it fair for any of us to say he's being selfish and not thinking of the team per se, but thinking more about just himself?
You know, Steve, I'm not privy to the conversations that he's had with Kevin Durant and James Harden and his teammates. I would like to think that he has explained his position to them individually and that there is a respect for where he's coming from. Obviously, in the media, fans, we want to know. We have this thirst for knowledge. We don't want there to be a mystery. We want to know the facts behind it. And because we don't know, it puts us in a position now to speculate and to use conjecture on what it might be. I can't form a fair opinion on this unless I really know where he's coming from. And look, there's a chance, you know, based on everything that I know, based on who he is and his personality, he very well could get vaccinated and put this all to a close and just go on with his life and pick up and become part of the team again. And this becomes a chapter of the season that you put in the rearview mirror. But there is also a very good chance that this thing continues to sit out there. He makes his point and doesn't move off his position. And I think the Nets did what they had to do based on the fact they couldn't allow this to just hang in the balance and deal with the questions day in, day out.
You think he'll eventually get the vaccine?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think the Nets know, truly. I think they're a little bit in the dark of where he's coming from on this. And it does kind of go along part and parcel with what it's been like since he got here. He's a different type of guy. It doesn't mean that he's not a positive person and he's not a talented guy and he's not likable. He's all those things. But he also has very strong beliefs, and sometimes he keeps those beliefs to himself. He doesn't quite share exactly where he's coming from. And in this particular issue, we just don't know what his perspective is yet.
Yes, we don't know. Do you think anybody associated with the team knows?
I think they know enough that they had to make this decision today. If they thought there was a chance that this would be taken care of without them publicly coming out and stating their position, then they would have held off, because today wasn't a deadline. There's no deadline. That's the thing, Steve. It's not as if, well, if he doesn't get the shot by this date, he can't play the season. No, he will be eligible to play the day after or the day he gets the shot. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. The mandate is rather direct. You need to have one of the two shots if you go for two shots and the vaccine. One of the two. You have to show the inclination that you are planning on getting the full vaccination. That's all they're asking for. So if the Nets knew in their heart, well, Kyrie will eventually get the shot, then I think today would have been avoided. Clearly, there's a belief that he may not be motivated to do that.
And as you kind of alluded to, and we're talking, of course, with Ian Eagle, Ian, as you kind of touched on before, alluded to with the vaccine and why we don't know, certainly the media, the public, we don't know why he doesn't want the vaccine. And there are some very strange conspiracy theories out there. And the number one that I heard a couple of days ago was that some people don't want to get the vaccine because they think getting the vaccine, a microchip is inserted into your body so Bill Gates can follow you around. Can you make that up?
No.
I believe that some people actually think that that's a possibility. There are so many conspiracy theories out there about the vaccine. You would like to think, instead of listening to politicians or to anybody on the street, that people regarding the vaccine, you know, listen to their doctors and listen to what the scientific community has to say regarding the vaccine. Now, about half the country, from what I understand, has gotten the vaccine. That leaves an awful lot that haven't. And people, again, they have choices. They have certainly the right to refuse the vaccine. But again, some choices, of course, are going to have more dire consequences than not. Do you think if he chooses not to have the vaccine and doesn't play with the Nets this season, that they could win a title without him?
Yeah, I think they would be in the hunt. There's no doubt about it. They're still really talented. They're still very deep. When you have Kevin Durant and James Harden on your roster, you're going to have a chance to win every single night that you're out there. I do think if he did not play this year and just sat it out, it would do irreparable damage to the relationship, not just with the team, the organization, but with the city in general of this potential crowning achievement for this franchise. And he would not be a part of it. He would have 1 year left on his deal. It's a player option. I have no idea how that would be handled. We're obviously skipping ahead in this process. We're only, you know, several hours into this public decision by the Nets. I will tell you this, Steve. I've been traveling around the country through the pandemic with the NFL last year. We still traveled. We still went from city to city. Obviously, I've been traveling this season for the NFL, and I did a little bit of travel for college basketball and for NBA. And it's very different out there. It's not what you would think it is. We live in the New York area, where I think most people have the perspective of do the right thing and think about your neighbor and mask up and do everything that we can do to try to move past this. That's not the case everywhere. So I'm telling you more than anything else, Steve, I want you to get off the dark web. I want you to stop looking at these conspiracy theories and watch an episode of Three's Company or something. Just go back in time when it's a much simpler time. Please. John Ritter was a genius.
Yes, you're kind of touching on middle America. You might be alluding indirectly to millions of Trumpligans who may not think that the virus is serious enough to go about getting a vaccine for it. Let me ask you this. What NFL game? I want to give you a little bit of plug with the NFL. I know we know that you work with the CBS and you have a new partner. You don't have Dan Fouts anymore. And I think your new partner fits in beautifully with what we have seen. What game are you doing this weekend?
Steve, thanks so much for the chance to plug my work. I think we have a clip. Can we roll the clip? Oh, no, it's not right. We don't have a clip. I've got two games. I've got Philadelphia and Tampa Bay on Thursday night on the radio, and then I have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Washington football team Sunday afternoon from FedEx Field on CBS.
And okay.
Please check out Queen Latifah on The Equalizer Sunday on CBS.
Doing a plug that you may have to do for during the course of the football game.
You it's probably just automatic already, you, at this
point. Yeah, that's right. You probably already have the copy.
Hold on, Steve. I have one thing coming in. Mondays, yeah. Bob Hart's Abashola on CBS.
How is your son doing?
Oh, he's doing very well, Steve. Thank you. He is out on the West Coast working the Clippers games. He had a college game for CBS last week, and I'll give a plug. He's doing another one this week for CBS out of the SEC, Auburn, and Arkansas.
Terrific.
On Saturday. So, yeah, very cool. And I will say this to you, Steve.
Yeah.
Much more difficult to watch your son do a game than actually doing a game yourself. The stress involved from a parent standpoint is much more challenging than actually putting on the headset and performing the play-by-play. But it was really cool. Very cool to watch it.
Well, see, it's in the DNA. He gets it from you. And so you've got the family doing it. And from all accounts, I mean, he's as good as can be. So you have to be very proud of him as much as he is very, very proud of you.
Not so much. I wouldn't overblow it.
Before I let you go, and again, thanks for a couple of minutes here of your time, the John Gruden thing. I mean, did you know him very well? I'm sure even if you thought you knew him very well and have interviewed him and met him and, you know, with idle chatter or anything on a professional basis, you had to be somewhat stunned to be hearing the latest, not just with the head of DeMora Smith, with the head of the Players Association, but just all of these emails that have come to light. You have to be somewhat surprised, even if you felt that you know him as much as you can know somebody, a coach on a professional basis. You had to be somewhat taken back from all of what we've been hearing.
Yeah, very much, Steve. It was very disappointing more than anything else. Yeah, I've met with John many times in his first stint with the Raiders and then with the Buccaneers. And when he was doing Monday Night Football, I would have games occasionally on the radio and I would see him. And he was with Mike Tirico in the booth, so I would stop by and chat. And then in his most recent stint with the Raiders, in fact, this past week, I had that game. Mm-hmm. I had the Raiders and the Bears. So we spoke with Gruden via Zoom on Saturday morning, our group did. And we talked about everything that was going on. And he definitely had contrition over all of it. Little did we know that that was just scratching the surface and more emails would be leaked and the whole thing would come to a crashing halt. It's ugly. And it's unfortunate on so many levels because the standard in which you're supposed to carry with you as a head coach, as a leader. And I know he wasn't coaching at the time and he was going back and forth with someone he worked with back in Oakland, Bruce Allen. It's just silly and stupid, and this will stick with him, unfortunately, for forever. Even everything that he accomplished as a coach, this is always going to be part of the description of who he is.
And 5 weeks into the NFL season, it's been wild, it's been crazy. A lot of missed field goals, a lot of overtime games. How do you go about describing, Ian, overall, the first 5 weeks of the NFL season?
Yeah, sheer fun. It really is. Every week, it's amazing how this league delivers time and time again. They have it down to a science. It's really good action. It's highly competitive. It's great storylines week in and week out. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you what it's been like to have packed stadiums again. To not have that for a full season, and now the muscle memory kicking in of 70,000 people and working your way through a parking lot in the morning with tailgaters, it just feels right. And it validates everything that I thought about this league and people's passion for this league. It's amazing. This train came right out of the station and it hit top speed very early. Week one was great, and it feels like every single week it's getting better and better.
Well, I mean, it's always something new. It's, you know, how about Mason Crosby in that Green Bay game, missing the three field goals and then still ending up the hero? So the bottom line is, no, a lot of twisting and a lot of turning and a lot of excitement. There's no question about it with an awfully lot of games that are just going down to the wire, and the Monday night football game. How about a performance from, you know, the Colts? The Colts had the big lead that they lost, but how about that second half for Lamar?
Yeah, I don't know how many times I thought about just changing the channel and moving on. There were a couple, and I was like, I'm good. I'm footballed out. And I said, no, I'll stay with it one more series. All right, one more series. And they just kept chipping away. Lamar has just got this magical quality, and you can see how the guys are galvanized by him, how that team always seems to find a way. They've got that cardiac approach to it. They take the most difficult route, but when they get to the finish line, it's this release. And he's really amazing. He's so talented. The fact that 31 teams basically passed on him is pretty hard to believe when you look back on it now, how much he's changed that team and how popular he is in that city and in the country. He's one of the true superstars of the sport. He's a joy to watch.
All right, I promise one final question. Who's going to have a better season, the Giants or the Jets?
Is this a poll question? Are you putting up a poll tonight on WFAN.com? And you're going to have seven people respond to this? I would say the Giants will probably end up with more wins when it's all said and done, but the Giants will probably also go through a rebuild, and the Jets believe that they're already going through it. The Giants came into the season thinking, no, this could be a breakthrough year, and it's just not turning out that way. The Jets knew what they were in for, and they knew they had to take their lumps.
Yeah, and they're taking them. And again, the injuries now with the Giants, the most disappointing thing about the Giants, their defense, I don't think anyone with the Jets, a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defense coordinator, rookies all over the place, a rookie quarterback, you know, learning his way, and a new head coach, the whole thing. So once again, the Jet fan has to be patient. And again, I think the Jet fan is a little bit tired of hearing how patient he and she has to be. But nonetheless, you have no other choice with all these new people trying to come together as a team. Ian, we'll let you go. Can't thank you enough. Again, continue to be safe and sound and healthy. And we look forward to the next time we're able to do this.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thank you for allowing me to co-host the show tonight. And also, in the post-game edit, if you can, just put in the Darth Vader type of voice. I want to hear what that sounds like on the replay later.
Okay, very, very good. Ian, be well. Thanks so much for your time.
Always, Steve. Great talking to you.
Okay, same here.
All right, that was a great rehearsal. Let's do it for real.
I thought you were going to say again, I love it when you go, and next time, please lose my number.
Yeah, you know? I'll throw that in there just so you can use it again. Yeah. Steve, always a pleasure. Next time, please just lose my number.
Always the best. I love you, Ian. And, you.
I love you, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Be well, buddy.
Yes, you too. Be well.
Anytime, too. Anytime, okay. You know that.
Thanks.
I mean, don't really take that literally.
Not to take that seriously is what you're saying. Okay,
you realize people just say that, right? That's not a real thing.
No. You know that Paulie would love to edit that in to the interview that we're doing right in the middle of it. Yeah, but anyway, you're so good at what you do, and everybody, you know, I've never, ever heard anyone say a discouraging word about your work or you. And to this day, and I say this to people when this kind of conversation comes up, the two funniest people that I've experienced coming through WFAN, you and Giannotti. In fact,
I thought it was me and Vince DeLisi, but that's fine. Giannotti's good too.
That's right. Well, everything now, everything with the station now is with the gambling. And,
oh my gosh!
Yeah, no, I know.
It's different. It's morphing, but yeah, that's what's happening in society. There's no way of getting around it.
You're right. But anyway,
it's amazing because it really was not, as you know, you've been there since day one, but when I was there as well, it really wasn't even part of our thought process. I never thought about the gambling. I knew people were gambling. I just thought of it as a tangential part of what we did. I never thought of it as the meat and potatoes of what we did.
Yeah, and now it's a bulk, bulk of their advertising, the bulk of their revenue.
I get it.
Right. Yeah. All right. Have a good rest of the evening and take care of yourself and stay well.
Great. Will this part be on the director's cut? Just want to know when I can hear this part as well. When we're talking about deplorables.
I mentioned Trumpligans. And I'm going to hear from the crowd later on when they hear that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I went silent. My phone went out. I don't know what happened.
That's right. For years, I've called the Atlanta Braves the Confederates from Atlanta.
And
somebody I mentioned it the other night when talking about their game with Milwaukee, somebody called didn't want to go on the air. But told Michael Fliegelman, the overnight board up, that Summers was being racist by calling the Braves the Confederates. Racist.
You're racist. That's
so they're
right
out there. They're out
I know.
There.
Well, when you call them the Icelanders, you're anti-water, you're a bad seed.
Yes, I am. I can't help it.
All right, Stevie. See you, bye.
All right, be well. Take care.
Okay, see you.
All right, bye-bye. Paulie, are you there? Did you hear any of that, Robin? It was really good. He was very funny. Paulie, can you hear me? Okay.
It's too bad you couldn't hear him. But, I mean, we're going to play it later on, but very late. But he's so funny and so likable and easy to talk to. He gives you great answers. Very smart. Oh, yeah. It was a good interview. And, I mean, you know, he's so successful and remembers, you know, he's just a very grounded guy.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.